Welcome to your heavenly refuge, a space to unwind your mind, slow down your rhythm, and fill your whole body up with inspiration.
Dreaming with open eyes, being in another world. Don't know what's truth or lie, all these stories that you've heard. Having difficulties to speak, because they seem so far away. It is time to be awake, got important things to say.
This podcast will nourish you with stories from beautiful creators and entrepreneurs who have already made a change in their life using their gifts to walk their talk. Welcome again. My name is Oyana Galor Dual, yoga teacher and nutrition consultant, enthusiastic about bringing the stories of people that share their unique blueprint with the world. It's my pleasure to have in this episode of Ibiza Refuge for Dreamers a woman who has been holding transformative experiences for people throughout the years. She has opened the door of her home and heart to indigenous leaders and has helped them spreading their knowledge and traditions throughout Europe. She's a mom, a psychologist, a fasting advisor, and the founder and owner of the House of Colors, retreat center in the north of Ibiza where people come to unwind, rest, reset, and get extra inspiration and energy, especially in these times of change. I'm very excited to have Ilona Pantelayal with us today. How are you, Ilona?
Hi, Oyana. Happy to be here with you. I'm very good. Thank you.
I usually start the podcast asking for the personal story of our guests, and also if you would like to share which were the shifting points in your life that made you be here today.
Well, it goes back a long, long time. I think when my first shifting point was an experience other than the regular experiences that you can have in life. It was, of course, in the 70s. So, and it was a mind expanding experience at the time. And I, envisioned other things as a possibility. So I saw us in the 70s was quite a time of change and people were looking for expansion, consciousness expansion. And I definitely belonged to one of that group. And I think in amongst those experiences and then amongst my in my life at the time, I happened to watch a movie which was made by Barbara Schroeder, where the actual storyline is not very invigorating. I watched it later called More, and that was made in Ibiza with the background music, with the main musicians, Pink Floyd. And just to see the people, the blue sky, the white houses, I watched it in a big cinema in Paris. And somehow, you know, just the name, there was something about, not just because I'm called Ilona, if it starts with an I, but I always had the idea that something that starts with an I is the sun. Italy is another one of those, you know, and so Ibiza just was something that after I saw that movie, I was kind of like transfixed. I thought I knew that place. I wanted to come and see that place. I wanted to experience that place. And I think also in that time, exactly sign of the time was going away from the hustle and bustle of the regular, you know, making money kind of materialistic world. And we were all looking for something else. I mean, tons of my friends went to India and found various gurus or followed various gurus, or Thailand, you know, Buddhism also, Tibet. I mean, there was a big, big move in this direction, you know, of expanding the consciousness. And So I think that was one for me. And that I dreamt about that, you know. And on one way of when I went with a girlfriend to visit Morocco in 77, on the way back, I got kind of stuck in Barcelona, and it took me still another 2 years before I made it here. And the morning I arrived with the boat from Barcelona, which was very, very different from what the boats are right now. Mm-hmm. And I remember some of us went out, you know, outside, and there we came into the port of Ibiza. And I remember everything at that moment. It felt like coming home. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. That was the beginning of a complete different journey than in my life. You know, I was already studying in Barcelona psychology. Mm. And I mean, I kept going. It was super easy to go, come and go in those days. It was very, very cheap, you know, everything in Spain and especially in Ibiza. Mm. So the possibilities were, bigger in movements for, like, let's say, young students like I was. Mm-hmm. So,
coming to Ibiza, you had this yes inside of your body about the place. And after studying psychology, what made you be in contact with healing, with other ways of healing?
Well, you see, while I studied psychology, I was also, because I didn't finish in Spain, I went back to Germany out of, you know, prestige reasons that were content-wise was the exact same. Mm. But that wasn't the way that the authority thought about it. So for me, it was much better to have my title, my German title, and have a German, you know, psychology title, diploma, university title in the end, which was not like what you have now, bachelor, master's, was different in those days. It was better to have that in Germany. And I did, you know, one of my practice and what I really studied as well was family structure, you know, family therapy as well. And when I did that, I really felt it would be so nice to have a center where people come from all different walks of profession, meaning a therapist, psychotherapy, maybe two or three of them from different designs, a massage therapist, you know, spiritual professional. I mean, there are many, many, many right now. I mean, in those days there were scarce, but still a normal allopathic doctor, you know, and to work in a team on a person. You know, on the client, on the family, on, you know, whatever cases came in. And that way give this whole thing a cooperation, you know. So for me, and I saw that healing would be guaranteed, it would be so much easier, you know, when people would get along. Obviously, I can see that it's still a dream, but it's happening more and more. It is manifesting slowly, and I'm really excited about this to see that. And that was already my dream, and I thought that healing, you know, that there's not just an emotional healing, that the emotion are attached to our bodies, you know, they're sitting in our bodies. It's very much, you know, when you do sit in a therapy session, you know, can 85, 90% is body language. Mm-hmm. Your client might say all these incredible words, beautiful things, and might hold his tight fists or the shoulders all squeezed and all those kind of things that you observe, which is the body language, which gives an expression of, you know, tension held or whatever is held there. And that's what one way to explore also. It's another, I mean, my training was then in Hakomi. I mean, I did Fromm and all of this first. You know, I didn't want to go to the behavioristic therapies that actually were more and more manifested later through the whole world of coaching. But me, I went more for the Hakomi, which is Aikido in therapy. You go with the defenses, not against them, you know. And but it was the very beginning of all of this. So, you know, Gestalt in Germany was just about to rise, coming up in in the sense that you could use it. But anyway, I'd lived more in Spain already than in Germany. I just wanted to finish there. So I was like looking out for other things, you know.
Yes, so you already saw the importance of holding a holistic approach.
Yeah, definitely.
Did you find it here, or did you needed to go outside to do these trainings?
In a way, everybody was doing their thing. You know, as many people came back from India, and they came from with the experience of the diverse gurus, where many very good therapists went to various different gurus, and there were lots of, you know, treatments and this and that. It was really happening all over the place. And I felt, you know, I wanted to find the thing for me, my kind of little box, not box, but where I fit in and from where I can expand. Because after all, first you put yourself somewhere and then you expand with all of this. At least that's how I worked, how it worked for me, let's put it that way. And I went to the States because I was with an American at the time, and we had an option to go to New York and live in a really huge apartment for next to nothing, because it was a rent-controlled apartment which his brothers had. And so we ended up there. And then I was looking. I went to the Open Center and the Omega Center, and I looked at almost every weekend. I did some sort of workshop to see if there was anything that would kind of like call me, or, you know, or fascinate me, or where I felt that something I wanted to deepen my experience and my learning, all that, you know, with. And I did find it, and it was called Hakomi. It was Ron Quartz. And I went out, actually flew out all the way to California almost every month or every 2 months to study with him. And I did the 3 years, that whole thing, and loved it. Came back here to Ibiza. I also wanted to offer it. I mean, Ibiza was a different island than from now. You know, nobody needed help from anybody, kind of. You know, everybody went out somewhere, but in here, it was just starting, you know. So it was slowly, slowly starting. I think I did more therapy in my life at home, sitting there with all the friends arriving, and, you know, then I did in the professional way, let's say, in a little place where you set up and this and that. But I was still always, even there, a bit, it wasn't exactly it, you know. Mm. But then I, through this whole studying and through having my son Joshua, where I gained a ton of weight, and I looked for a way to get rid of it, I found fasting.
And I remember also, was there a time that you were in contact with a healer? Apart from the reality altering experiences, was this coming in contact with this really good healer that opened you, your mind or your ideas about also what can you create in the future?
Yeah, you see, absolutely. What happened to me then all had to do actually also with the, yeah, the arrival of my older son, Joshua, you know, when I was, when I actually was, maybe he wanted to come in, however you want to say it, when I wanted to get pregnant, and it was a bit difficult for me, and I just, you know, been through a whole story with it, and we came here to Ibiza, and some friends said, look, we have this friend of ours who was actually a Nepalese person, but was also in Pune before, but he lived then in Italy, but he would go to Germany, to Munich, to do treatments. And it so happened that we were just flying back. We lived in the States at the time, but we had been in Europe. And we were flying back from here to Munich, because to go to Germany to spend some time there with my father and my brother and family. And so, curiously enough, he was there. And I went there, and he did healing on me. And I think because I wanted to be pregnant and children so much, that it was so important for me that I left my whole skepticism left me. Because I was, you know, as much as I went for the whole psychological training and everything, it was just can be very mental, the whole story also can be very analytical, can be very all of that. So then the whole heart side or the whole surrender side and the whole mystical side of life can be lost in the translation, you know, with all this analytical stuff going on, and which I was tending to, you know, let's face it. So for me to go to a healing like this, even though I've always tempted me, was always, you know, already, I mean, my grandmother used to dream what, where things were when we lost them. She had all these premonition dreams, my mother. So I came very much from a family like this on the female side. And yeah, it was very interesting for me to meet this person, to work with him. And he worked with me on distance. I mean, literally, that I ended up being in Seattle. He was in Nepal and or in Italy, because he went to visit his family in Nepal, and he would tell me, "Hey, you didn't have a good day. This and this that happened. There was tension here and there." And I mean, there's no way that this person could know this. I'm sure he wasn't running after me with a spy camera or something. It was just incredible. It opened a whole other, It opened even more, you know, even though I had all this other mind expanding stuff, but it, you know, you can put it all, that's the brain, that you do this, the synapses in the brain, and it's all just, you know, very physical, chemical, you know, and because you can actually totally limit it on that level, you know, but there is some other vibrational information that's happening. Which is not really or cannot really be explained in the traditional science. And maybe will never be explained. I don't care, but I do believe in that very, very much. And when I found, you know, this book of fasting, that was a book that was made by an allopathic doctor, a therapist, and a fasting guide, and used meditation, used visualization, something that was also my initial, you know, dream to put, you know, work from different, you know, traditions and a holistic view on a person. Yeah, that moved on. I moved on from there then more into the, in another approach of healing.
You were gathering these tools, and then fasting came to your life after being pregnant with your first son, and finding this book and also this way, this holistic way of approaching fasting. How did you develop that?
Well, first, you know, I just kind of like followed the book the first time and just loved it. I couldn't believe it, you know. I was like flying. I mean, on the fifth day after not eating anything really. I mean, lots of water, teas, diluted juice, and broth, and only one diluted juice. So careful, it's not a juice fast. It's based on the Buchinger fasting, which is a doctor from, used to be a doctor from Germany, born of Switzerland, and he cured himself in the early 1900 something of many things he had. He was almost, as a young person, almost not possible to move, you know, and with fasting, which already was obviously quite a methodology that was used, he cured himself for many things, and he opened a fasting clinic, and they've been studying that there as well. And, you know, for me, it was just like incredible what it did to me, how I could see, how it gave me clarity, how it was inspiring, how it brought me into, into an altered state, if you want. So it was actually wonderful to see that this could happen without anything. Actually, less is more. And, and then, you know, because I saw that that was one book. And then I came back and I did it myself various years in a row. And then friends did it with me. Then more friends came to join us. And then people started to get interested. And then I thought, you know, careful, because I could see there were moments where there were difficulties. And then what do you do in these moments? And then I found that they were doing actually a fasting academy. And there's a fasting academy attached to the Buchinger Klinik, the DFA, and in Germany. And I went and did the training, which was also a three-year training. Where you do all the anatomy, nutrition, and then what happens during fasting. You fast yourself and you learn it by doing it, and they have exams. And I did two exams at the within all of that. And, well, to this day, then I'm still like love to guide groups. Fasting, I love it. I think it's a fantastic way to heal yourself, to cure things, to go deeper, because you're not only, you don't only detox and fast, actually really get rid of ill and damaged cellular bodies, and expels it. At the same time, as you get with that, it's an emotional, a mental, a spiritual, and a physical cleanse, you know, and amazing to see that. And of course, when I saw how much this is really kind of like cleaning these really four pillars of our health, which when they're clean, something else happens, and that's beyond those four pillars of health. It just expands. Here we go again, expansion, you know. And for me, I have to say that I then thought, oh, I can include two, you know, maybe accelerate a bit more the emotional part. There is that can be done. The physical part, maybe we do a bit more. I introduced the Qi machine that we use while fasting, which is a Japanese tool. Well, it was invented in Japan, but it's a tool that is used all over now to loosen up more things, to, you know, there's some physical. Then I've used some more visualizations, new visualizations, different ways to do the more emotional, mental thing. We do some prayers sometimes. It depends also on the group. You know, some groups come and they have no interest in doing anything slightly spiritual or emotional. They come too fast because they want to look good in a bikini in 2 months' time. Curiously enough, comes the after the third day, the fourth day, you know, comes a space. You know, most people enter a space where then when we go for walks and I do certain exercise, even those people suddenly find something, you know, in that. It's also nice to introduce new platforms for people, you know, that they can work from or with.
Yeah, maybe insights come for those people.
Exactly.
Or more clarity.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very important in the times we live at the moment that there has been so many changes, challenges for some people, expansion for others in the last months. Is fasting a good tool to have also in the toolbox during the year?
Oh, yeah, I think it's a fabulous tool to have, and especially in spring and autumn, you know. I mean, if you, depending also where you live, but let's say spring and autumn, just from the whole idea and energetic field, you know, it's the renewal, you know, the getting ready, you know, for the winter, getting rid of all the stuff in the summer. If it's autumn, you know, like cleaning up, entering that quiet time with a different energy, or coming out of a winter, you know, and getting ready for the summer, you know, invigorating, slowly moving the energies again, waking up, you know. I find them super, super tools during that time. Sure, you can do it also in winter and in the summer. You know, it's just, I find for me, it's very important to see what are the energies that are around. Where am I doing it? Okay. Obviously, if I move and do it in Brazil, it's going to be different or in a country where the same, there's always the same weather type. Yeah. It's different from countries that have really four more or less for clearer seasons. So it depends very much where you go, not just weather-wise, but also what you do. You know, if you have a group of people who really like want to do more physical, they're more into their bodies, obviously I'm not going to push them into it's not my agenda. You know, it's basically surrender my agenda is the most thing I work with when I'm working with the fasting group. But then there's certain tools and things I need to have with me, and I use them, and I'm quite, when it comes to those things, I can be quite strict, because it's super important, because otherwise you just don't get the same out of it.
We would love to hear about type of fast, you named it before, but if you can tell us the type, what people drink or eat during these days, how long it lasts, if there is like a transition timing also. Tell us more details so all the right. listeners can know.
Yeah, well, the fast is called the Buchinger fast, who I told you was a doctor in Germany. It's based on the Buchinger fast.
Based on that.
The Buchinger fast, let's say the shortest of that is for health. When it's for healthy people, it's either 7 days, which means 5 days fasting and 2 days back. In general, every fast, when you really fast, you should have a third of that time that you fasted should be dedicated to bringing your body back to the food. Mm-hmm. So let's say if you fast 10 days, then it would be like 3.5 days to dedicate your time to go back to food, which includes, it's 13 days then, so basically almost 2 weeks, yeah? Mm-hmm. I do fast for fasting 5 and then 2 days back, so for a week, and I also can guide fasts for 10 days. That's fast that, let's say, the people, it's fasting for healthy people. Mm-hmm. I give out questionnaire. People have to answer that questionnaire, and then I can see, are they healthy or not? Because certain people that maybe have like very high blood pressure and they take certain medication, they cannot fast. And others who have high blood pressure, but they take another medication, they can fast, because it's an indication. Also, medication is an indication of how strong, you know, heavy that is. Then, for example, people with thyroid problems, they have no problem fasting. Diabetes, for example, no good. I've had also that people lie about this. This is, of course, can be very dangerous, because people just don't want to accept that they're not healthy. Comes out pretty fast, because there are a few things that happen that shows that quite clearly. But if people, you know, answer me and I can see they cannot fast with me, I certainly have places they can go to. I refer them to those places, or I give them the addresses of those places, because I think it's super important. In general, people who have these kind of afflictions, it's really ailments, they really need a longer time to fast, and they need to have a supervision from, you know, the doctors are there. It's in this clinic, they have, you know, a group of people who are overseeing this then. Mm-hmm. So for me, I take people who are healthy, and that's the questionnaire. Then a lot of times it's all ages. I mean, you can start fasting from like 20 something to, you know, if you still feel with 70 something you want to fast, you can. And if also there is a few things that have to be overseen and make very sure that a person like this still, you know, is entering the healthy. You know, a lot of times people come with, even in their mid ages, and they think they have, so we all have something here and there, but you know what I mean? It's just, you know, more that. So then we are, the day in fasting, you need to bring the normal day are in the morning, you have teas and water. We do weighing here. When we're here at the house, we do Kneipp, which is like a stork walk in the pool that's not very high. So you can, you know, it's good for your circulation. Then we do walks. We do a tea machine. There's for lunch, there is a juice, a diluted juice, mind you. Otherwise, that's not a good idea, because if you get too much juices can be very, very full of sugar. Mm-hmm. And so they have to be really diluted. And it's mm-hmm. two, so you don't get over 500 kilocalories. That's another limit to say, okay, if you stay under your fast, your body does certain things that when you have too many calories, just will not do. You still detox, but you just don't do the same thing. Mm-hmm. And which has actually been quite proven lately. There have been lots of studies done and things have been discovered that people didn't know. I mean, even when I started fasting, it was surprisingly that it all came. They found all this documentation in Russia where they've documented fasting over, you know, a long, long time. They have like full rooms with documents and tests and all of this, which quite frankly show that how good it is for the human being to abstain.
Yeah, and indeed in many traditions, like indigenous tradition, we're fasting for getting more clarity and doing rituals, like Kabbalistic tradition was using it. It's like a way to reconnect to yourself, to your insights through this fast and also through taking this kind of time for yourself.
Yeah, less is more, really. And I mean, we have also in our memory, in our prehistoric brain, as they call it, we have that there. We have always had times where certain foods were not, where foods were not available, mm-hmm. and people had to fast, and they just ate a lot less, and were, if we would eat a lot less right now, with all the medical achievements we have on all, whether it's on the natural medical side or the allopathic side, I mean, people could get really easily, 120 and over average, mm-hmm. really. I believe in that strongly. It's unfortunately we're just kind of like seem to cut that short by misbehaving, us humans, I mean. So, but the fast, coming back to that, we have liver packs after the juice that we have during the day. Then we go for walks. We have massage. Then optionals are massages, are yoga. Yoga is very good during fasting. You know, certain massages, foot reflexology, Thai massage, body, certain Chinese massage are fantastic during fasting. The qi machine we use. A lot of, the fasting is rest and action, rest and action. Very important is also the rest, basically the non-action, mm-hmm. To come to yourself.
Yeah.
To calm down, to arrive back, at your own door to see what needs to be done to get more and more clarity as you continue fasting. And we have in the evening, we have a broth made. It's of course always biological produce, out of biological produce. And then we usually have a sharing. How the day was, and visualization. It depends, those are the ingredients. The broth is constant, the juice is constant, the liver pack is constant, but walks and maybe talks, maybe visualizations, the qi machine that can oscillate during the day. Mm-hmm. Depending what kind of group there is, how the group works together, how I feel that maybe more things are, maybe it's more important to have a longer walk. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a few those things happen as we go along. It's not something that you can have like a tight schedule. I mean, I learned that the hard way. Typical German me, make a schedule. Bum, 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 bum. People wanted to know, but then you have the person come, but it's 11, we need to go for a walk. But, don't give them too much because the nervousness around that you are going to fast. And then people come and they're so nervous about this. And then they kind of like attach themselves to the schedule, mm-hmm. To have something to look forward to. It's actually didn't help. It's better to have space,
Exactly. And when there are these moments that come of nervousness in the people, do you give them specific guidance, because you have these tools of the psychology, you do some energy work. So is there a way you approach these people and they can get this guidance during the cleanse?
Definitely. When I see that people are very nervous, I usually sit with them, you know, and see what's necessary.
Yeah.
Maybe it's more of an explanation of what's going on. Maybe it's going more deeper into why they come to fast. Maybe I suggest them like some Tachyon energy work, healing work, you know, or put them in a little, you know, in this Tachyon cocoon. There are many, many ways. Sometimes, you know, do a little exercise with a tree out there. It depends. It's very much depending on the situational circumstances and the openness of the person. And then I've, you know, over the years acquired many tools to work with, and I really enjoy it.
Yeah, very important that you have all these magical ways of giving the people what she or he needs in the moment during the cleanse, and having them in this parasympathetic way that they are relaxed, they can receive during these 10 days, and they can open for whatever is coming for them. And while you were talking, I was wondering if also someone wants to do it by himself or by herself. Is that possible? And can they do it online in these times that we are facing, that sometimes there is a lockdown and it comes and someone is somewhere in the world and wants to be also doing it with guide that and have a person on the other side taking care of them and guiding them? Is that possible?
Yeah, that's possible. So basically, because of the times and sometimes you get thrown into things by the circumstances, and that happened as well here with the fast. I've done fasts where people just stayed here. Then I've done fasts where people come here only during the day. Then I've done fasts where people come a few days, and then the rest of the time we are on, you know, what's up. And then lately I've done some with the Zoom also, where people, you know, can come in to the Zoom. We have a Zoom meeting, everybody meets each other, and then you you start from there. You know, they get all the information, they get what they need, they go and get all the things they need so they can start to do it from home. And they have a daily possibility to meet in a group for support. Mm-hmm. But I'm during this time, I'm available. Mm-hmm. During the time when I do it with the Zoom group, there are certain times that I'm available for the Zoom, but I'm available on the phone all the time, you see, because I work also with a doctor who's an allopathic doctor, but also a homeopathist and everything, a few other modalities that he learned, that he practices in Germany, and he's especially a fasting doctor. So sometimes, you know, there are doubts. I'm not a doctor, you know, so doubts. What happens here, this, that, you know, these and those things can happen. You know, I have fasting crisis, which are healing crisis. And as much as I can see that maybe, you know, you cannot say, oh, this person is just very making too much noise. It's not the point. The point is that I don't know if that might be my impression, but this is not important. Mm-hmm. Important is that I'm there for this person to find out what the noise is. Is mm-hmm. the noise based on something serious, maybe? You know, that maybe some ailment that this person isn't even aware of. Mm-hmm. So I need to have a cushion in the back. I mean, I have somebody there who helps me with that. So whenever I embark on a fast together with my clients, doctor, and I have another a woman doctor also, that we embark together on it.
Is there any challenges that are common in a fast?
Yeah, there can be many. For it depends again on the people, you know, on the person. I mean, one of the things that actually I never recommend, if somebody wants to come to fast and they really want to come to fast, is great, because one of the main things if you want to fast is that you want to do it, and then there's a special cleanse to initiate the fast. But if you drag along a friend of yours who's not really convinced, it will actually make your fast, that person's fast, not very beneficial, and the whole group thing will suffer from that. Yes. That's one of the challenges, so no dragging along. But that's already something that can be kind of supervised beforehand, hopefully. During the fast, you have healing crisis. I mean, you know, the Gauss curve, the final, you know, the statistic thing that we all been pounded about or learned about so much, that happens also. Most of the people on the third day have a crisis. Can be a small one, can be, it's a crisis, but not, but then you have people on the second, so then you have people on the fourth day have the crisis. Some people don't have a crisis at all. So, but let's say the majority does. And those are the challenges for the people, you know, because healing crises are something, that's why people come also to fast, you know, to get rid of all that stuff, to get rid, to start fresh, you know. It can be an emotional healing crisis. It can be like even mental I've had. It can be a physical, you know, even spiritual. I mean, we've had all of these crises here. During the fast, I have also quite a lot of tools that help and that are there then to accompany those moments and to make those moments less challenging. Yeah. You know, that's super important.
And now I want to talk about the goodness, what people receive from these days, giving themselves this space to unwind and this space to cleanse in all these levels.
A lot of times people come because they're at a critical point in their lives, you know, and they're looking for a change or a clarity, which way they should go. And it's very different for everybody. So people get that a lot, you know, that there's the clarity, they arrive at clarity, insights. They have certain eating habits sometimes they want to leave behind. They learn how to deal with that, you know. They are cleaning out on, as I said, physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. So depending on the person. So they have it's eases the way to walk in life, you know, and maybe also to walk your talk, you know, make that easier, or to even realize what is my talk, you know, where do I want to go, you know. I mean, there's all these questions that can arise. A lot of times I've noticed I've had groups of women here that were all in their early 40s, mid-40s, where the kids are big, they finally leave home, or, you know, relationship issues, you know, but usually attached to, you know, the children leaving. That's happened a lot, you know, people that want to change their jobs, you know, people that are... I've had, funnily enough, I was surprised, if you know, I had also quite a few male customers. They all came more from the banking. And, you know, you always think when you start something like this, or, you know, the people come from that group, from that group, here, there, and word of mouth, and boom, it goes out. I had also lots of people in from the massage fields, from the healing fields as well. The challenges, not the challenges, the benefits are manifold. You know, there are lots. It's very important when you arrive is we find out the intention. Because I think that's, in any case, everywhere, you know, when you come, the clearer your intention and the more precise your intention is, to clear it's to you, the more you can, the more you can get out. So I also sometimes in groups work with that before we even start the whole fasting process. We work with the intention. I mean, that I used to do in the groups I had some years ago. And I think I'm going to start with this again, because I was, I think it's kind of gives a good direction.
And did you find people coming here when they are in this, I mean, in their lives, that they are closing cycles and they come here to find this space of regeneration, maybe for the new cycle or clarity for the new cycle?
Yeah, absolutely. People that have maybe left a job, you know, or, you know, one parent has passed away, or they have had a divorce, you know. I mean, all these kind of like endings of certain things to find a new beginning. Yeah, a lot of times.
What about women that are trying to get pregnant? Could be a good idea to maybe go through a cleanse before, even before starting trying, even if you have the idea you're going to try? And do you think it's a good way to approach it, cleaning your system before?
It's perfect. Mm-hmm. I've had three women here that have sent me incredible letters, because they, and one came three times, and after that she finally got pregnant and she's over the moon. I mean, my baby must be now 7-8 years old, the boy. So, but they came to visit one time to Ibiza, and they came up here with the little boy, Shomi. So yeah, I definitely know that that's a magic. It's really magic for that.
Very important. I want to talk about the House of Colors, because it's a very privileged spot on the island. It's on the mountain, and just arriving here gives you this sense of peace and also being in another dimension. I'd like to know, how did you get this beautiful land? How did you build up the container, the house? The details you want to tell us about this house.
Well, funnily enough, you know, it was time, you know, I had my second child, Marlon, and I lived in this amazing, beautiful house in Benaras, which I thought I'll never move out, and also said that to my landlord. And then times changed. They were very stiff around certain things. The wife kind of freaked out a bit too much from my taste, and I felt we needed more space. Mm. And we were looking, and we came up here, and it was just not finished yet. The whole thing was kind of very raw, and I fell in love with the view. Of course, I looked around, and Marlon was about to be, you know, like he was not even 1 year old, and I, you know, all the crawling, starting to walk, all these kind of things. I looked around and said, "Well, far too dangerous, not possible." And we came up again, and then she, with the real estate agent, she didn't have the key. The second time we came up with her, or the third time up here, but the second time it was the real estate agent, she again didn't have the key. And I said, "Well, let's go around the house." And I just put my nose against the kitchen door. And in 2 seconds, I saw in a split second, you know, not 2 seconds, I saw my kids running inside. And Marlon didn't even, as I said, he didn't walk yet. And somehow that I got obsessed. And we got the place. I'm like, it was a long kind of windy road to get the place, and then a long and winding road to put that place into something that was working, because first I thought I bought the biggest lemon ever. And that place fell also, you know, things happen in hindsight. It was also healing for my soul, for also Arik's soul, for our souls. I think it was all around healing. And the fast I'd already done in the other house, and I had guided fast, like I said, with friends and stuff. That's when I decided I'm going to do my training when I was up here. Then I started the fast. I started, you know, there was still a way to go for us to, you know, go through a few healing processes ourselves as well. But, you know, it just felt when I came up here like this is a platform for healing. you know?
Through that glimpse of seeing your children walking around or running, you could receive the sign that this was the place, even if at the moment was still very raw.
Yeah, it didn't look like it, but it felt like, you know, somehow that, yeah, a lot of things sometimes, you know, in hindsight become more clear. It wasn't that clear at the moment. But one of the things, I used to sit a lot out of the on the balcony and looking when it was really difficult and everything seemed to be kind of going wrong. And I just looked out into this nature and sat there writing, you know, in a little book, my thoughts, my prayers, all of this kind of thing already then. Just, we'd barely just moved in. And then really to be up here in this nature and with this view, and I feel there's also a spirit up here, you know, very benevolent, very, very loving, kind spirit, like an old shepherd or something. Mm. It feels like this. And this always was kind of like the guiding force, you know, and to this day still is. It's changed, you know, and I feel like we've provided and for many years an amazing platform, healing platform, and will still for some time, but also things can change. You never know, you know. So I'm like very careful with any kind of futuristic thoughts, but my feeling is very much like very beneficial all around feeling of this kind of energy that manifested itself up here, you know.
Yes, we are recording the episode from the House of Colors, and I would love that the listeners get the feeling how is to wake up here. Also, I would like that we describe the buildings here. Like, for example, there is a main house and a dome. So there are different installations. There is like a teepee and a little wooden house and a beautiful pool. So when you wake up, you can see even the ocean. You foresee all the north of the island. I think it's a really nice feeling to have also when you are doing a cleanse and when you are in times of change.
Yeah, it's really magical up here. I mean, one of the things that for me, it's like no matter you go to bed with, I mean, I prefer not to go to bed in a bad mood. I'm usually try to fix and end the day, you know, in a peaceful way and, you know, make amends with whatever might have come across, you know, and or try to find already the solution, you know, to walk, you know, to go to bed with a warm heart, you know, like kind of, you know, with an open heart and with a... So it doesn't always work. Obviously, we know things are not always like this, but still the intention is that one there. And when you wake up here, you know, it's just like so beautiful, the views, the nature, the feeling, the birds, you know, depending also which, sometimes it's like this Ibiza disappeared. It's completely cloudy, you know, and we're in the sun up above. Sometimes we don't see anything. We're completely in the clouds. It's, you know, we're high up here on 320 meters. One of the things that I also was very curious, I mean, there's so many beautiful spots on this island, you know, there's so many there. I mean, it's really incredible. And this is one of them, and I'm very, very happy and, you know, blessed. We are blessed that we can be here. And one of the things, now I've repeated myself a few times because it's really true that when you take pictures from here and you put them up, they don't do, how can you say?
They're like not fair to the place.
Yeah, then, like when we used to rent also for a while there, which we haven't done in years, but we used to rent like in the summer for a few weeks. And then the clients would receive these pictures. And, you know, when they come up, they'd say, my God, this is so much better than in the pictures, which I think is beautiful because a lot of times it's the opposite, you know, that you have that. So that's what I mean. It doesn't do it justice. That's what I was looking for, you know. So yeah, that's it's a beautiful energy, you know. It's like it's a lot of space. Here's a lot of quiet. We've also had a lot of fun up here, and then can you know? There's all the options, but let's say the surroundings, the view that you have from up here is very unusual for Ibiza, because in Ibiza you have a lot of, you know, rocks and, you know, the countryside, or you have the sea. Here you just see a tiny bit of the sea, but you see it. But then it seems like endless, and the rolling hills. Mm. You think on this huge island that never ends, you know.
Yes, I think it's easier to be, it's very easy to be grateful when you are here up the mountain. It's like this nature around makes this feeling of being grateful to life very easy, at least for me when I come up here. I find it easy. One last question before we end up the conversation. The House of Colors has been also a door for indigenous wisdom come to Europe to make a space for their songs, for their traditions. So I'd love to, if you want to talk more about that, or if you want to express the intention behind that invitation.
Well, I think, you know, more than the indigenous definitely also arrived, but more the whole idea came from to have this platform of prayer. And a platform of prayer, and to realize that this whole other section in life, you know, about expansion, expand our minds, not only in the intellectual, scientific way, but also in prayer and, you know, in sound, in, you know, all these qualities that are surround us, that to bring that in, and then to have these insights, you know, people. Now again, you know, there's a lot of happening in the world which was stopped in the 70s, whether it was, you know, working with mind-expanding materials, you know, whether it was mushrooms, LSD, all these kind of things that were stopped, and that has an ecstasy, you know, all this has started again, and people are using a lot of these kind of tools to help people heal. Or finding out how can they use these tools, you know, marijuana now, CBD, THC, all this, how can these substances help people heal? And they've seen that they can actually do an enormous amount of things, beneficial things for the person and the people, the village, the town, the humanity in the at the end of the day. And I think that in in certain areas in the world, these kind of traditions were kept. Mm. You know, where people, when they weren't feeling great, they would go to the medicine men of the village, or, you know, and then there were certain ritual ceremonies were held to help this people, this person get better, or sometimes the whole tribe. Mm. And since I think the Western world needs this a lot as well, but we opened up to these kind of possibilities, you know, also to learn how to pray again. And very important, I think so, and I really want to stretch that point more than anything for me, is the a work that's been a little bit left on the side with all of this new enthusiastic wave of, oh, let's heal together, and then they're flying high with all of this, which is beautiful. And as long as you can actually integrate this into your daily life, you know, and make your life and that around you and everybody else's more beautiful. So I think integrational work is really called for. I mean, I would, when I look at it now, I really think that most of the work, and then the integrational work, you know, that is amazing. I have to say thank you to all the people who have been here, who brought what not here, their knowledge, their wisdom, their prayers, who guided tons of people here to some healthier lifestyles, to some insights, in a way that it's wonderful. And I'm very happy and can say very, very, happy and, how can you say, satisfied that we've been such a platform for this, you know. And I think, you know, sometimes, you know, things also move, you know, we not might not always be that platform, you know. It's also things move on to other places, you know. As I said, for me, really now I see more like much more integrational work here. I find this very important. I also find very important to see what do we have here in our Western society in terms of our natures. What does our nature give us that we can work with? And then use that for healing and integration.
And prayer.
And prayer, of course. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Ilona. I always finish with three questions that for you will be four. So let's go for them. First one, what brings you in alignment with yourself?
Yes, fun. Laughing, childishness.
What enhances your creativity?
Music.
Which are the ways you share yourself with the world?
I talk. I communicate.
Good. And last one, a daily practice to enhance the body's detox power.
Oui. I would say to make it very easy, because there are many, but one of them, it's really great. Everybody get themselves a really nice brush with natural bristle. And before they take the shower, you do a dry brushing, and you start with the furthest point from the heart, which is your right foot, the sole of your right foot. Don't forget the sole. And you go upwards. Your movement with the brush would be upwards, always in strokes upwards. And then you do the left foot and leg, then your right arm, then your left arm. And then the best is if you have a brush with a long handle, then you can get your back. And when you come to your belly, do it in clockwise motion and, you know, get bigger in the circular movement. And then and when it comes to your chest, neck and face, just do it, clap with your hands. You don't want to really use a brush there, because that would leave some, you know, nasty, could be very ugly marks, and it's not very good for the thin skin we have there. So, but that's a very invigorating thing. It helps to get rid of a lot of dead cells in your skin. The skin is one of your huge organs to detox as well and to eliminate. And it just helps invigorating, you know. And then you have a nice shower and do like a hot, cold, hot, cold, hot, cold three times.
And then you do some movement. Okay, thank you so much, Ilona.
You're welcome.